Beloved congregation, for this special worship service for confession of faith and adult baptism, I ask your attention for the text that you can find in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our text speaks of your reasonable service. And we will see that that is, first of all, a living sacrifice. Secondly, by the mercies of God. And thirdly, according to the will of God. Your reasonable service, a living sacrifice. Paul begins this chapter by addressing the people to whom he's writing, and he says, I beseech you. And we need to know who is you in this verse. And we know that the you here are the Christians in Rome. Most of them recently converted. Many of them only recently baptized. All of them having confessed their faith in Christ. Much like these people here are about to do this afternoon. And if Paul were here, he would say to each of the 14 of you, I beseech you, I am urging you to do something. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he's using Old Testament figurative language here now for him. In the Old Testament, those sacrificial animals were always killed. That animal is presented to the priest and the sins of the person would be confessed over that animal and transferred onto that animal, and that animal would be put to death. And the reminder was for the people there that salvation and forgiveness of sins is by means of a substitute. In this case, that animal. That animal died so that that person could go on living. Now in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has died once for all, so that all who believe in him may go on living and truly live forever. Paul says to all those who believe this glorious gospel, you must present your bodies now as a living sacrifice. So that's the nature of this living sacrifice, is that we give our bodies to the Lord. Your bodies, he writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, are the members of Christ. In Romans 6, verse 13, he has already said, yield yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we are to serve God as the Lord's people by offering him our bodies. And we are to offer God our bodies as instruments for doing his will. Children, think about our bodies for just a moment. When he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies include your eyes and your ears. That's part of your body. And we receive many impressions through our eyes and our ears, don't we? And that's why Paul says they must be sacrificed, they must be surrendered to God. Because what we are watching, and what we are reading, and what we are listening to affects how we think as Christians. The modern media puts acquiring things before godliness. In fact, it will never mention godliness at all. And as believers, we will not grow in grace if all we see and hear is secular stuff. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, including our tongues. Think about that. That's part of your body. That has to be surrendered to the Lord. And what we do with our tongue is extremely important. You don't need to be a terrorist to inflict great injuries on people. A little bit of gossip will do. A little bit of slander will suffice. But you see, when you sacrifice your body to the Lord, including your tongue, then you're going to be very conscious how you use that tongue. Will it be to praise and serve the Lord God? Will it be to recite scripture with your tongue? To sing praises and worship the Lord our God? Using your tongues to tell others about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ for sinners like they are. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, including your hands and your feet. Think about your feet. They're part of your body. And then think about where do your feet take you? Do your feet take you to places where the Lord Jesus Christ is denied and blasphemed? And is it then with the purpose of bringing Christ's gospel there? Do your feet take you to places where sin is practiced openly? And is it then to direct those sinners to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Present your bodies, including your feet, a living sacrifice to God. I beseech you, he says. I urge you. I'm pleading with you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's the next word in our text. Holy. That sacrifice must be holy. That means separated from the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says about holiness that no man shall see the Lord without holiness. In fact, holiness is the whole reason the Lord saves his people. The Lord Jesus Christ died to save his people from their sin. Not to leave them in their sins. Paul writes, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. Something that's pleasing to God. And acceptable before him. It's amazing, isn't it? That God could possibly find anything that we do acceptable and pleasing to him. Since he is the holy and the righteous and pure God. And see, when you know yourself to be sinful and often ignorant of the Lord's ways, and half-hearted in our commitments and zeal, then it is truly astonishing that anything we could possibly do could be acceptable to God. But that also tells us of our great need, because our second thought is that your reasonable service is by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul has explained in the former chapters that salvation is all by grace. And now he refers to his readers as brothers and sisters. Sisters is included in that word, brethren. And again, who are they? Chapter 1, verse 7, he said, I'm writing to all who are in Rome, beloved of God and called saints. Saints, no, not in the sense of saints as the Roman Catholic Church has hijacked that term. but in the truly biblical sense of saints, people who are being sanctified. That's a description of true believers. Saints are not sinless people, but they're people who by faith cling to Jesus, resting in His finished work alone. And Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Therefore. Wherefore, Paul? It reminds them of what he has written in Romans already. And what kind of things has he been writing? I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. They had received this gift of faith from God. And Paul has written in chapter 5 of their abounding sin, but of the superabounding grace of God. And in the verse just prior to our text, he says, for of him, that is, of God, or and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And if glory is to be God forever, he says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God. That's the chief motivation. In view of or because of the mercies of God. In the Old Testament, that's often called the tender mercies of our God. This is the motivation for presenting your bodies as sacrifice to God, as a living sacrifice. It is the manifold mercies of God. And we see His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ dying on a cross to save sinners like you and me. And we will never serve Him with a sincere heart unless we understand and recognize how indebted we are to His mercy. See, the very idea of mercy presupposes wrongdoing on our part. Sin. If there were no sin, there would be no need for mercy. When he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, he's talking to sinners who are saved by that mercy of God. So I give you an example from the Bible, how that mercy of God goes to work. Let's take the example of Paul himself, the one who's writing these words. When his name was still Saul, and he's on his way to Damascus, persecuting the people of the Lord. And the Lord stops him in his tracks and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you? He says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And I think Saul at that very moment would expect Christ to strike him down dead right there on the spot. But he doesn't. Instead, he sends him to Damascus and he calls him to be an apostle. And Paul has never, ever been able to forget God's mercy. Later on, he writes to his young friend Timothy. And he says, this is a faithful saying, Timothy. It's worthy to be accepted by everyone that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he says, of whom I am chief. Sinners of whom I am the very worst one. However, for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering patience for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. So Paul is set forth as a trophy of God's grace. And he puts that out there for us to see this afternoon. And he says, no one needs to despair. God's mercy. This mercy is limitless. It is for sinners, even if you are the very worst sinner that ever lived on this earth. By the mercies of God, I beseech you. That mercy is demonstrated in the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood on the cross. That mercy is displayed by the Holy Spirit being poured out on His people. That mercy is shown in the salvation of sinners even in this very day. Oh, the multitude of God's tender mercies, I beseech you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable, he says. That word reasonable is the Greek word that is behind logic and rational. It can also be translated as spiritual and worship. So your reasonable service as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to worship God as the result of God's mercy at work in you. Why is this reasonable? Why is it reasonable to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? Well, think about it. God, in his mercies, gave himself to you. He gave his son for you in your place. And he gave his Holy Spirit to be in you. So God gives all of himself to anyone who believes the gospel. And then it's only reasonable that we give our bodies back to him. And we say, oh Lord God, I desire to serve you with my whole being as a living sacrifice. It also means a lifelong sacrifice. And how are we supposed to put that into practice now? Well, Paul tells us, your reasonable service is according to the will of God. Wouldn't you love it if Paul could just be here just for this afternoon so we could ask him? You know, Paul, we live in the year 2019. And we live in a world that is so unlike yours, you wouldn't even recognize it. We have temptations now and pressures that you couldn't even have imagined. And you wrote the letter of Romans to Christians in Rome. And you're a Jew. What do you know about what we face? Paul knows all about what we face. He was a sinner, just like us. That doesn't change. And God's grace doesn't change either. You think it was easy for those Christians in Rome to be Christians? Oh no. They faced vicious persecution. They were surrounded by the world's philosophies, just like we are. It's no different today. And the word of God was relevant to them, just as it is relevant for us today. Times may change, the world may change, but the word of God remains the same. And human hearts remain the same. And we are still saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. None of that has changed. That's all the same. And also, the answer to our question has not changed either. How must we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God? What is required? How must we go about doing this? It doesn't help us, Paul, if you just tell us we have to do it, but now tell us how. And he does in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's a negative command and a positive command. Be not conformed, but be transformed. And to be conformed means to be shaped by something or the standards, in this case, of the world. Of this age. Can also be referring to a scheme. Letting the age in which you live force you into its scheme of thinking and behaving. The world has a way of thinking about things and doing things. And the world is exerting its pressure on believers to conform to their way of thinking and their way of doing. And Paul says, don't let it happen. Don't be conformed to this world. He'd be very much concerned with the world's thinking, resulting in actions. The world's way of thinking. These days, we call it secularism. Secularism. And that is that only the here and now matters. That's all. Just the here and the now. And secular humanism just looks at people apart from God. We're just people. There is no God. The world's way of thinking is relativism. Truth and goodness and beauty do not really exist. What's true for you is not necessarily true for me. You may think God is wonderful. I don't believe in him, so it's all good. Doesn't matter. There are no absolutes. There are no rights and wrongs. The world's way of thinking is materialism, which says, be as healthy as you can, get as wealthy as you can, and live as long as you can. That's all that matters. And Paul says, don't be conformed to this way of thinking. Don't be conformed to this way of behaving. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. Those of you who know a little bit of science, you know what metamorphosis is. Children, you think about how a caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. That's the picture he puts before us. Be transformed. And that's the picture he wants to have in our minds of what is happening to a believer. By the Holy Spirit's blessing, we are being transformed. The Holy Spirit blessing our studying and knowing of the life-giving Word of God and the renewing Word of God. Because without the Spirit's blessing and without our knowledge and study, we will remain in the world's mold, thinking like secularists, behaving like them, unable to think like Christians, unable to act like Christians. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Holy Spirit, beloved, works through our minds, bringing the Word of God home to us, to our hearts, through our minds. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So believers among us, we are being transformed right now into the image of God. That's happening to us. But in our text, he says, let your mind be transformed. It's a passive command. Let your mind be renewed. Let yourself be transformed. Begin to think like Christians. These people here are this afternoon professing the Christian faith, not some other faith. And Paul would say to you, begin to think like Christians. How do Christians think? He that comes to God must believe that he is. That first of all. We live knowing that God is. And we know that God reveals himself in the Holy Scriptures and that what he says is trustworthy and truthful. And we begin to think and act like God is. And we believe what God says. It means we begin to think biblically. Be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's something we all want to know, don't we? We want to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you'll never know it unless you are renewed in your mind and transformed by God himself. Then you learn to think God's thoughts after him. And children, how could we possibly think God's thoughts? How can we even know what God is thinking? Can we know that? Oh, yes, we can. Because he has revealed his thoughts in his holy word. That's why the Bible is so relevant today. Whatever you need to know about God, he has revealed in the word of God. Whatever you need to know about yourself, he has revealed in the word of God. Parents, whatever you need to know about your children, God has revealed it in his word. Whatever we need to know about sin and grace and reconciliation, it's all revealed in God's word. Whatever we need to know about dealing with others in all the relationships of our lives, it's all revealed in God's word. So we begin to think and behave like Christians. When we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we may know and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, in order to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, you need to know what it is that's acceptable to God. And when the Holy Spirit, through his word, renews your mind, then you are being transformed and changed into that person whose heart's desire is to prove that good and acceptable will of God. And that is the reasonable service of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what God does for his people. That is what the Lord does for all those who place their trust in him alone for the salvation of their souls, who look to Christ Jesus to be their all and in all. And whether you are being baptized this afternoon or were baptized long ago, when you come to Christ Jesus in the way of repentance and faith, your reasonable service is to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that can only be in Christ Jesus. Can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing the word of God and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. Amen.